This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 303 for the week ending Saturday, February 20th, 2016. I forgot the month. Hello, good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I'm Captain Jeff.
I'm your captain.
I'm your captain.
I'm your captain.
And I'm feeling kind of queasy.
Oh, I'm feeling mighty sick.
And also joining us this morning, the lovely Maria Johnson from Conyers, Georgia.
Hi, everybody. It's so cool to be here on this blabby, blabbity, blab, blab.
It's perfect. And also joining us from the plains of Oklahoma, we have Steve Nelson.
Hello, everybody, from balmy Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Sure smells sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. And also joining us, are you? Okay, you'll have to tell us about that in a second. But meanwhile, I'm going to introduce Father Corey Stika from Montana.
There's a rodeo. Well, howdy, y'all. In Montana.
It's kind of like spring here, too.
Where they come
really?
From miles around.
All right.
Where they throw
there we go. The so there's our introduction with our kind of cute introduction music. And so you say, Steve, that it's springy there, huh? What kind of temperatures are you experiencing?
Oh, gosh, it's going to be close to 80 degrees. And February of all, oh, this is, I don't know what to say.
Wow. I think we're going to get up to in the mid-60s here today in the Atlanta area, right, Maria?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Like my daffodils are up and my tulips are starting to come up. Can you believe that?
I know. And the trees are budding here. And we've got, it's our grass fire season. We had 50-mile-an-hour winds 2 days ago, and it just set off fires all over the place. But way too early for this.
Wow. And then Father Corey, so what kind of temperatures are you experiencing over there in Montana?
Like I said, kind of springy, but Montana springs. So we got 40s and there's not much snow left on the ground. So that's for February, that's pretty rare that it's this warm. Like I said, that feels kind of like spring for us.
Yes. All right. Well, how is everybody doing? Maria, how's your week been?
Oh, my week has been fantastic.
Have you been getting a lot of sleep?
I've been, not last night, but yes. Yes. I went to bed at 3 last night.
And why is that?
Talking wedding preps.
Oh, when is
married.
The wedding?
It's in the, excuse me, it's in the fall. And we were just chatting. And the men left us alone, and we were chatting some more. And I looked at the clock, and it was 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you were able to get up and join us this morning. How is everything going? You're officially retired from your teaching job now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I submitted my formal resignation through HR on Monday, which was pretty exciting. And so my duties are kind of, you know, reduced a little bit. But I'm certainly committed to finishing the semester for the students. Mm-hmm. So I'm still teaching, yeah, through the end of May.
Oh, okay.
Through the end of April.
So you're not really experiencing the joy of not going to work every morning then?
No, but I'm experiencing the joy of just teaching.
No administrative stuff, yeah. I like teaching. It's probably all the other stuff that makes the job
teaching,
a hassle.
Teaching is nothing more than performance art. It's the other stuff that that gets ugly.
That's true.
Have you entered that weird zone where people are talking about the future and you're not quite involved in it?
That's exactly what's happening. So I'm not a decision maker anymore. I'm a lame duck. I'm a program director. Yeah, I'm a program director. And so I don't want to make decisions that I'm not going to implement. So I keep, you know, deferring to the staff who just looks at me and said, we don't know what to do. So
you're going to have to figure it out in the next few months. You're going to have to do it next year.
I've got two staff members that work on 2-year contracts, and their contracts are going to end at the 1st of June. and they're in the same boat. And they're young guys. They're like 25, and they're just like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what to do. Do you want our opinion or not?
Sooner or later, you have to figure out things for yourself.
I never withhold an opinion if somebody asks me one for one.
That is true. I can vouch for that.
In fact, I was in a staff meeting not too long ago. And at the end of the meeting, like a VP, a very high up admin person said, no more questions. No one has any comments. And there was silence. And she literally looked down the conference table toward me. Not even you?
Not even you?
Wow, that's kind of embarrassing in a little way.
Oh, man. Hey, the Pope has been in the news quite a lot lately.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
After those Catholic politicians, or not so Catholic politicians, not so Christian.
Oh, what?
And Father James Martin has actually come up with an entire process for discerning what he says.
Oh, boy. So are you referring to perhaps this? Let's listen.
The Pope is being told that Donald Trump is not a nice person, okay? Donald Trump is a very nice person, and I am a very nice person. And I'm a very good Christian, because the Pope said something to the effect that maybe Donald Trump isn't Christian, okay? And he's questioning my faith. I was very surprised to see it, but I am a Christian. I'm proud of it. Okay, for a religious leader to question a person's faith is disgraceful. I'm proud to be a Christian, and as president, I will not allow Christianity to be consistently attacked and weakened, unlike what is happening now with our current president. Okay? Believe me. No leader, very important, and this has just been given out to the press 2 seconds ago, no leader, especially a religious leader, should have the right to question another man's religion or faith, especially when they feed all sorts of false information into him. They're using the Pope as a pawn, and they should be ashamed of themselves. That's the Mexican government. They should be ashamed of themselves for doing so, especially when so many lives are involved and when illegal immigration
Why are you still
is
playing
so rampant
this?
And so dangerous
yeah.
and
it's
so
almost
bad
over.
For the United States. Okay? Period. That's it. Period.
There you go. Thank you for waiting till the end of it.
Why?
Well, hey, you ever heard of this guy?
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin from Jimmy Akin Podcast, and you're listening to Catholic Weekend with Captain Jeff and the gang.
He did a great breakdown of not only that particular little spat that Trump and the Pope are having, but also some of the other
Pope, not the Pope and Trump are having. Trump is having.
Yeah, well, okay. So Pope Francis speaks on hot button issues, 9 things to know and share. And this is an article that we'll put in the show notes from JimmyAkin.com. He does a very nice job of kind of parsing a lot of different things that were discussed on his impromptu press conference aboard the airplane that he was flying on back to Rome from Mexico. And they talked about several different things. They talked about civil unions, pedophilia, the issue we just played a little soundbite of with Donald Trump, the, let's see, civil unions for homosexuals. I think I already said that one. Abortion and contraception, you know, the Zika virus, et cetera. So there are several really hot topics that, you know, the press loves to pick up on and then kind of, you know, not really quite represented exactly the way it should be, because a lot of times they don't understand the language of religion and the language of the Catholic Church. So anyway, so I'll step back and let you guys have fun with this.
Like he says one thing, he repeats it, that just drives me up the wall. And it's the, oh, if you're, you know, a religious leader should not question someone's religious faith. Dear Mr. Trump, that is the job of a religious leader. We are to help you grow in your Christian faith. And part of that is questioning where you are at now. If we don't understand where you are at now, we can't help you grow. So, yes, the Pope has every right and it's his responsibility to question where people's religious faith is currently at, so you can grow from that. I hear that all the time as a priest. I get that one. You don't have a right to question my faith. Well, actually, I do. Because I want you to think about it.
Well, and you know, if you really go, and again, this is a really good article to read from Jimmy Akin and see the way he parsed it. And the Pope was very careful about the words he used. Mm-hmm. He did not directly say that Trump was not a Christian. He said that if a person who thinks only about building walls wherever they may be and not building bridges is not a Christian, this is not the gospel. Or not, well, not in the gospel. But then, you know, somebody pointed out, well, you know, you look at the Vatican and it's surrounded by a very large wall. So
after being invaded by Muslims trying to wipe out everyone in the Vatican.
Yes. Well, I mean, some people would argue that there are
people. Well, we know whose passion is up today.
Yeah.
So anyway, again, I think that it's really easy to come to a conclusion immediately because, you know, of the way you may feel about certain people. But I think it's a good article to read and see that mm-hmm. how it was all parsed out. And well, it's interesting. And, you know, it gives us something to talk about.
Trump wasn't the only one who wants to build the wall. He's not the only candidate who's out there calling for that.
Right.
So I think he's taking it personally, but or using it for more press is more accurate.
Well, yeah. My take on that was that it was, you know, he said, using somebody as a pawn, and I think that the politicians were doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think it's just a bunch of nothing, you know.
It's just
an opportunity to get press. I mean, if it's trending, you know, if you watch some of the politicians, especially the ones that are like at the head of the race in their respective parties, whatever's trending is what they're talking about too. Whether or not it's relevant to them. I mean, I can't imagine that the Pope would be relevant to anything that Trump has to say other than the fact that it's press because, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought that was it was an interesting thing to talk about, especially for a show called Catholic Weekend. The other thing I thought was interesting. Yes, sir.
Well, I was going to say, I thought it was pretty poignant when he was at the border, you know, looking into the United States and just the image of that and the issues that surround that. It's all it's such a complex issue,
mm-hmm.
but still, I just found it really poignant to have him standing there, you know, looking across the border like so many of the immigrants do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then it was also kind of poignant. Well, not maybe poignant, but interesting the reaction that the Pope had at one of the events where people were trying to gain access to the Pontiff, and somebody got a little bit over exuberant and started pulling him, and he almost tumbled on top of, or I think he did tumble on top of somebody in a wheelchair. And what's interesting about this is that the Pope kind of expressed a little frustration and wasn't very happy about what had happened to him. And he kind of scolded the guy and said, you know, quit being so selfish. And the thing that was interesting about it to me wasn't what happened in his reaction, which I thought was just a normal human reaction, is the fact that the media is like, whoa, this guy's really a human being. Well, duh. He's not. Yeah. So what did you think about that?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining to look at the different translations. I had such a neat experience with this Pope because I can understand him in his native language. So I was watching all of the coverage on one of the Spanish language television stations so that I could just listen to him without the translator going. And it was just so lovely. It was just so lovely. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, there are so many different ways that this can be translated, what he said.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought that a lot of the nuance, the meaning he's trying to project gets lost because it's translated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in Papua New Guinea and I was teaching. There were so many nuances I'd want to insert into the language that I couldn't because I knew that my students who were speaking English as a third language wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't get the nuance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes think whenever there's a translation, it's like, and that, you know, people are like, the Pope said this. And I was like, go back and let's have somebody who actually understands the language and the nuance of it tell us mm-hmm. what he really meant.
Yeah.
And not take one sentence out of context.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't see the humanity in his face where he was irritated.
And I loved seeing that because, you know, again, that just points out that he's a bishop. He's a bishop of Rome. And in the Catholic Church, the bishop of Rome is also the Pope. And but he's a human being just like all of us. I mean, he's not a god. And obviously he has, human emotions, as we all do. And
there's not going to be a little frightened or frustrated when somebody grabs you and pulls you in a direction you don't want to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I might have lashed out physically.
I think I might have used some other words.
But, Maria, it's really interesting what you say about how things are translated, because, I only speak one language and not very well. English. And so when you are trying to translate something into a different language, I think that it's got to go through a bunch of different lenses and filters, your own personal biases and belief system and everything else when you make the translation, right?
Yeah. There's a lot. It's really interesting that I can translate from Spanish to English. In fact, I was certified years ago. I let that expire because I wasn't doing much with it. But I can capture the nuance in Spanish and deliver the nuance in English, but I cannot deliver the nuance from English into Spanish. Hmm. So I can do the translation in one direction. I can go from Spanish to English, but I'm much weaker from English to Spanish. So I wouldn't attempt it because so much of the richness of what you're communicating is in understanding those different levels of nuance. For a beginning person who's just understanding something, you want the basic teaching, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the teachings of the church are so rich and so multi-layered, and as your faith increases, they bring on new meaning, that I would totally fail at that delivery in Spanish from English.
So not only do you have that English to Spanish kind of translation, but you also have the problem with the language of religion, because our Protestant brothers and sisters, or even people of not of any kind of faith, don't always quite understand exactly what we're saying when we're using common words that everybody uses that may not have the same meaning. And so that's another layer that we kind of cut through that sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it so many times on this show where I find myself in a public space in a meeting, and I'll just use a word in a very particular way and look around to see who responds to it.
Yeah.
Like I was at a conference one time, and I was in a room full of people where I was trying to defend a position for a direction we were taking. And I was an advocate for students, and I said something, about too many test scores and too many data points, and we need to consider the dignity of the human person. And about three people went,
just kind of looked
at me like, oh.
Have you ever used the argument, well, it's not either or, it's both and?
Oh, yeah.
That was one, by the way.
I teach rhetoric. No, there cannot ever be both and.
But, that's funny. I was at a gelato shop the other day, and there was a men's group. Looks like they were doing a Bible study or something. It was in the corner. And so I sort of sidled over to them because I wanted to eavesdrop a little bit and figure out if they, what sort of church they belong to. So I was like listening for Catholic code words, I was trying to figure out, I was like, well, so far they haven't said anything that tips them off yet. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, for those of you just watching for the first time, I'm a convert to Catholicism, and there are just so many things that I thought I understood in relation to my own upbringing in the Lutheran church. And so when one of my Catholic friends would say something and use that same word, it was just like, it didn't make any sense to me. It was like, I didn't understand it. And then not trying to understand it, and then just kind of getting defensive, because it was, offending me the way the words were used, et cetera. I mean, I have several different examples, but I don't want to spend the whole show doing that. But so it's incumbent upon us as Catholic Christians to make sure that when we're using language that might be a little bit hard to understand, or you know that that's going to be a different nuance to that word or phrase, then it's up to us to make sure that we are expressing ourselves well and in explaining ourselves so that people don't, you know, take it the wrong way.
Well, I think when you're talking about like between different religions or different denominations, that is one thing that the ecumenical movement has done a good job of, is helping kind of explain to other churches and learn from those other denominations what they mean. You know, what do we mean when we talk about justification? What do we mean when we talk about salvation? What do these words mean? Because how we use them and how other groups do are sometimes two very different things. And again, yeah, like Maria said, then you throw language, you know, cross language issues in the midst of that. And yeah, things get ugly really quick.
Yeah. And anytime you're going to talk about an issue like the other issues that he discussed in his impromptu conference aboard the Shepherd One. I don't think they use that terminology.
Oh, please, but, before you say that, did you see the meme leading into that?
No.
It said, brace yourself. The Pope is on a plane with your
head. That's what I was going to say, is because we always go, oh, no. Oh, no. Here we go.
But don't you know, according to Eye of the Tiber, it is now infallible, whatever he says up there from his seat at A3, you know, in the first class. That's now the chair of Peter.
Speaking from the chair of Peter now. Okay. Gotcha.
I get a lot of those.
Seat of Peter, I guess.
I get a lot of those Eye of the Tiber things in my Facebook feed, and it's like, gosh, I hope people realize that this is satire.
That's half the fun when people comment, oh, this isn't funny. And it's like, no, it actually is pretty funny.
It's satire.
So somebody asked the Pope about contraception, because we have this little thing called the Zika virus spread by mosquitoes, and it's spreading quite rapidly. And it's what is the World Health Organization calling it now? Some kind
global
of a
epidemic.
Yeah, a global epidemic. It's serious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody rightly asked, so what do you feel, or what do you think about, you know, the use of contraception to help with combat this? And again, he said something, and he didn't say that he was like, this is my final judgment, this is what I believe about it. He kind of expressed that he was, you know, thinking about it, and many people were thinking about it, and talked about the difference between abortion and contraception, and how one is a horrible evil and the other isn't. So not that he did not say that it was not a sin. But the what did it say? The traditional Catholic philosophy of the lesser of two evils. Now, I'm a new Catholic. Well, 15 years, but I still feel like I'm a new Catholic. To the rest of these cradle Catholics here on the panel,
who are practicing
Catholics, is that really
practicing?
Is that really a philosophy, that the lesser of two evils? I kind of scratched my head on that one.
I think it is. I mean, that's how I've viewed it. I could be wrong for, you know, 50 years, but.
Well, it's definitely a moral.
It's a moral
problem.
Choice.
Mm-hmm. You know, to consider the lesser of two evils is still considering an evil, mm-hmm. you know, but it's a moral corundum is what it is. You know, it's how do you handle these situations? You know, with understanding, always trying to find the good.
Right.
And sometimes, and you can never choose evil to do good. I mean, that's a moral precept.
So maybe that's what I'm being confused with. The means justifying the ends justifying the means, and the lesser of two evils. Those are not the same thing.
No.
Okay.
In my mind, I guess if it comes down that there's only two choices you can make, choose the lesser of the evils. But is it ever really a situation where there's just two choices?
No.
That's what I always come down to.
Not usually. Pope Francis slammed the idea that abortion could be justified, stating, abortion is not the lesser of two evils. It's a crime. It is to throw someone out in order to save another. That's what the mafia does. It's a crime, an absolute evil. Abortion is not a theological problem. It's a human problem. It's a medical problem. You kill one person to save another in the best case scenario or to live comfortably. No, it's against the Hippocratic oaths doctors must take. It is an evil in and of itself, but it is not a religious evil in the beginning. No, it's a human evil. Then obviously, as with every human evil, each killing is condemned. So that's what he had to say about abortion.
The press doesn't promote that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he also urging that doctors do their utmost to find vaccines against these mosquitoes that carry the disease.
And, you know, and one thing I've been seeing too is there's the question of whether or not this virus is actually causing the problems they're seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Did you see the thing in Brazil?
It was the same place where a chemical
a larvicide,
thank you,
yeah.
Was spread, and it's actually thought that this chemical may be causing the problems, not the virus.
Interesting.
Right.
So we may, and I think that they were pretty clear from the very beginning saying that they're making assumptions mm-hmm. that this is what is causing the birth defects, but they weren't absolutely sure.
But the sad part is groups immediately jumped on that and said, well, that means you need to use contraceptions. You need to have abortion readily available because, of course, you know, there's a slim chance that something could happen.
Yep.
How come they never say chastity?
Well, that's unreasonable. People can't do that. People can't take a vow of celibacy and spend their life not having sex. Silly assumption there, Steve.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Or chastity of marriage, that it's proper.
It's 2016. Come on.
Doing something that's healthy.
There's a word right there. That's a great example, Maria. Chastity is one of those words where people think, oh, that means that somebody isn't going to have sex. And that is not the strict definition of chastity because, as you just expressed, we married people have to act in chastity as well. And that doesn't mean that we don't have sex because obviously that's not the case because both Maria and I have three children. And, so obviously there was something going on there. So but chastity is the way that you behave in whatever your vocation of life is. Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
For a married person, that means, you know, being chaste for me is to only, you know, express myself in that way with my wife, my spouse, and not have affairs and look at other women in a leery way or whatever the proper word is, you know.
And even so, within the sacrament of marriage.
And proper self-control mm-hmm. and other things.
Right.
But, you know.
I apologize. I used the wrong word.
No.
No.
I'm glad you used chastity word. Because
I was being sarcastic. I was being sarcastic, you know, about how people can't control themselves. Yeah. You know, they wouldn't do something silly like a vow of celibacy.
Right. That would be crazy.
It never happens. It doesn't happen in our world today.
If you're just listening to the audio and you don't know what that voice is, that's a priest, Father Corey Stika, who practices
has taken celibacy. Promise yes. of celibacy.
Anyway, so.
But, you know, that's just, I just think that the culture, the mainstream culture, if you will, which is why to be practicing any faith really is countercultural in so many ways.
Right.
The mainstream culture would, the default is always to this relativistic worldview. And so it seems like the conversation always does turn to sex because, you know, of course you have to contracept if you're engaging in multiple partners over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that becomes, and of course you're going to get sick if that's the behavior that you're involved in. And so then it does make sense that that's what you want to do to protect your health, but you're not, you're ruining your health and you're ruining your emotional health for sure. And you're certainly breaking your spiritual health
mm-hmm.
when you're, you know, pursuing that kind of lifestyle, but that's the default that the media always takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so any comment that we make has to go to, well, then the solution must be contraception because there's always looking at that angle to rationalize contraception and a contraceptive culture.
And I understand that frame of reference because I came from a world where, post 1932 major Protestant Christianity kind of finally, you know, decided that it was okay. But before 1932, every Christian denomination, doesn't matter what it was, you know, were staunchly against artificial contraception. And so I grew up in this world where, I mean, it was just normal. I mean, that's what people did. We use contraception. We'll stop using contraception when it's time, the right time to have children, or if it's convenient, or, you know, if we can afford it and that kind of thing. And that was a normal thing to me. It made sense. I understood that. And wasn't until I opened this book called The Catechism of the Catholic Church, when we were starting to look into the Catholic faith, and I started reading the arguments against it. And then I actually started reading some of the Protestant reformers like Martin Luther and Calvin. And wow, talking about some strong language. If you want to see, you know, how they felt about contraception, you should read some of their stuff. Ooh. And
Martin Luther was not known for holding back in his in his opinions.
Yeah. So it it really opened my eyes. I finally saw an argument presented to myself that I had never heard before. And I went, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I understand now. I get that. And I believe that. And mm-hmm. So that was one of those things that, you know, the light bulb went off my head. And I went, oh, okay. I get it now. I still had a long time. It was a long time for me to understand the both and thing, because there was no context at all. Somebody would say something about both and I go,
huh?
What was that? That doesn't make any sense. Both and then, you know, somebody finally explained that, you know, instead of either or, it's both and, because, you know, you can make arguments, rational arguments, that encompass multiple viewpoints.
Sure. Well, one of the things I like about our faith, and especially as I've gotten older and gone a little deeper in the study of the faith, is how rich the catechism is in explaining all of these things, because it really does give you a good explanation for, you know, for some of these things that some of us as cradle Catholics have done by rote without really having a deep understanding of.
Right.
So it's always good, you know. You have your faith, maybe, that's here in your heart, but it's got to connect with the intellect. There has to be a bridge between the two, to really grasp it, because, you know, it's the complexity of the human condition that the Catechism explains.
It really is. And may I take a moment to read one of the comments in our chat room? I think it's a great comment. Salah Asanusi. I'm not sure. I'm sure I'm butchering your name. Sorry about that. He said he wanted to take a moment to congratulate you guys for this blab you teach people instead of telling them how to live their lives. And we need more people like you who give knowledge. I'm a Muslim and I love learning about other religions, and I'm glad that I stumbled upon this blab. Sorry for interrupting. Yeah. And you're not interrupting at all. I mean, that's good. And that's an important reminder for all of us, is that, you know, don't start pounding on people and saying, you know, you're not living your, you're not a Christian. or don't tell me I'm not a Christian. You know, this, like, live your life the way that, you know, Jesus told us to live our lives, and, you know, and be a good example for others.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a phrase that should be more well known in the Catholic faith is, what the church teaches is proposed, not imposed. Hmm. We propose what we should do. We propose how you should live, not impose. You know, we've tried that. We've tried to force people to be Catholic. Look at the history of places like Mexico. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time, it doesn't. Once the imposition is done, they fall away. Unless it's proposed to them and they accept it. And that's what we are called to do. You know, it's funny where in the 1800s, they thought that the Pope was going to set up a Catholic triangle in the middle of the United States. Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and St. Louis were going to be the points of that triangle. And St. Louis was going to be the new Vatican.
Oh, is that where Pope Michael is now?
Oh, he's over in Kansas. He's further west. But there was a legitimate, it was a fear among many Protestants that this was going to happen, and that the Vatican was going to move to the United States and take over the country and force everyone to be Catholic. And of course, all the Catholics are going,
but
you're joking, right?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. Well, the reason why they said that is because that part of the country, look at the cities that are there, Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, again, you know, Cincinnati. These are all very heavily Catholic cities, even to this day. And they were even more so back then. So,
but just think about how we'd be so screwed up if we had actually done that. No.
I was going to say it'd be a lot easier to visit the Vatican.
Exactly. Yeah, really.
There wouldn't be any walls.
Probably not.
There would be a lot of bars.
Yeah, right. Would there still be a big arch?
Oh, man.
There'd be good barbecue, though. That's for sure. Ooh,
there you go.
Yeah, we all love that. Let's take a quick break. I should have waited until I actually had this sound effect up. Let's see. Let's bring in Alan Marchand and let's do Llewellyn's Leap instead of Punxsutawney Phil this time. Ooh, a little bit loud, sorry. And this is a moment for us to thank everyone listening and watching for contributing to the StarQuest Production Network. That is, if you are. If you're not, why not become a friend of SQPN and head over to sqpn.com/... What is that noise in the background? I'm here.
A mouse?
I don't know. But head over to sqpn.com and check out the way that you can help out the network in our effort for the new evangelization. And you can become a friend of SQPN by as little as, I think, $10 a month. You can give less than that as well. And you know what? You're still our friends. And one-time donations are also accepted. So I just wanted to point you in that direction if you feel so compelled. And an easier way to support the network is by shopping and buying really, really cool tech gadgets like I like to do from Amazon.com. If you like to shop on Amazon, and who doesn't, you can help out our network, and it's painless to you because you don't pay anything extra. It's just that Amazon doesn't get quite as much as they would had you not used our affiliate link. And you can find those links over at sqpn.com/Amazon. And I think if you just go into most of our pages, you'll see the Amazon.com banner and the links there. So thank you very much for that, considering that anyway. And then finally, if you're out there and you're thinking, you know what, I want to start a blog, I want to start a podcast, and I need some place to go for my web hosting, well, why don't you do as so many of the people, in fact, a couple of the people here on the panel are doing, and they went over to Bluehost.com for their web hosting. Steve hosts his site, and Maria hosts hers as well at Bluehost.com, as well as our CEO, Father Roderick. His personal blog is hosted by Bluehost. And if you do, if you sign up with them with our affiliate link, they'll give us a quite nice fee, or whatever you want to call it, for having signed up through that link. So please consider that as well. And yeah, that's about it. Anything else before we move on? I'm hearing no yays or nays.
Crickets. So. Whatever happened to our crickets? We certainly haven't become any more engaging.
No.
The crickets.
Let's see if I can find some crickets
the
here.
The crickets have been fumigated and sent away.
Yeah. I have so many darn soundboards and so many different applications and devices and everything else. All my sound effects are spread all over the place. And so I'm looking here to see if I have any crickets on this one. Doing something
there you go. Miami Rick has them all.
Yeah, maybe. Say, I think I used them all on him.
All your APG pals are here now. It's like,
are they?
Hi.
Really? How did they find this?
Huh. No, I'm just saying they're all talking about Rick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, a couple of them are kind of dual supporters of the
supporters.
APG and also SQPN. So, hello, Mariana and Stan. I see at least two of those I recognize. And of course, Father Corey as well. thank you very much for hanging out with us. A prominent Supreme Court justice who is, or was, is, I should say, not was, is Catholic, just passed away last week. And so I thought we could discuss that as well. And the fact that it's going to pose, it already has, posed quite a bit of discussion in the political world because, you know, we're here in the United States, we're looking at an upcoming election. And one of the rights, duties, obligations of a president, an acting president, is to nominate somebody to take the place of a Supreme Court justice who has left the job, as Scalia has. And so what do you think about all that?
Well, I mean, that's just politics. My big takeaway from the whole thing has really been Ginsburg and Scalia's relationship and how they could be on such opposing political sides, ideology sides, and still have had this wonderful relationship. And I think it speaks to what it means to be an adult in relationship. Mm-hmm. And how to be able to, I wish the whole nation, especially everyone up on the Hill, could see that as an example of what it means to, you know, to be human and to be in relationship. You can disagree. We were talking in the last segment about both and how they could be respectful, how they could be, you know, loving, you know, in that filial, is it filial friendship? Filial? Mm-hmm. Feel
yeah,
love.
I think so.
It has moved me to see Ginsburg's response, really.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a tough thing to do, because when we're talking about such issues, we hold with such fervency, with such emotion. Mm-hmm. Like, someone mentions, for example, the, you know, pro-abortion, pro, you know, gay marriage, whatever it is. These are issues that on both sides are not just merely intellectual pursuits. They are truly something that reaches to the core of our being. And sometimes it's hard for us to imagine, how can I be friends with someone who disagrees with that? You know, how can I argue with someone and yet still go out with them for a beer? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the great examples of that I can think of from literary history is G.K. Chesterton in George Bernard Shaw. They were absolutely opposed when it comes to religion, opposed to many things, but they'd still go out and go to the pub and have a good visit. You know, they were the best of friends.
Mm-hmm. And have fantastic debates on this.
Oh, yes.
Because it's usually
both masters of the word.
Exactly. Usually it's because you share something else that's very important, important to you and you're passionate about. I just formed two words there, important and passionate.
I believe that the real word is impassioned. I'm just helping you a
Mrs.
little bit.
English teacher. Sorry. But yes, impassioned.
You can't really have a friendship if there's not some civility there to begin with. Exactly. You know, the ability to be able to talk to each other about things.
Right. So. Right. I mean, in my own personal world of the aviation podcast that I do, you know, most of the people that listen to the show are even on my APG crew. Well, about 50% of us are Catholic and then the others are not. And, you know, we still have discussions about faith and the expression that, you know, I really do want to believe, you know, but so, but it's not like, you know,
Fox Mulder.
Pardon?
Sorry. X-Files
reference.
Oh, okay. I don't watch that show, so I have no idea what you're talking about. But you know, it's because we share a passion in aviation, and so we have common ground there, and we understand that we're different people, and we have different beliefs as when it comes to, you know, religion and spirituality. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, well, I can't be associated with you because you don't believe what I believe. You know, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's not acting in a Christian way at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I, when you were talking about Scalia, and I tried to stay away from all the political stuff, but I really liked the stories of his humanity, you know, the way he reached out to the poor, the way he reached out to his friends and things like that. I enjoyed those stories.
And, you know, go ahead. Father.
I was going to say, he made it kind of fun to read some of the decisions of the Supreme Court, whether he was for or against, because he truly liked to throw in wit as much as he could. He mm-hmm. very much would, you know, he if he had something to say, he would be almost very witty about it. You know, it wasn't just, you know, bland legalese, you know. He would try to really bring some wit into it. And he had some, I can't remember any off the top of my head, but he had some pretty good one-liners he would throw into him.
Yeah, I was, Father Corey and I both share a passion for technology. And many people in the tech world are, you know, agnostic or atheists. And one who was raised a Catholic, and Father Corey and I like to listen to many of his shows, Leo Laporte, I was a little mm-hmm. distressed when he learned of Scalia's death and some of the really not very nice things that he had to say about him. It's because, yeah, and it was because I know why, because he has certain ideologies and certain opinions that were definitely, you know, 180 degrees out from what Scalia believed in and what mm-hmm. his ideologies were. And I'm thinking, but, you know, he's, as we just mentioned, he's a man, and he did many, many great things in his life. And he seemed to be a very nice person. And you got to separate those two things, I think.
So well, again, how do we return to that level of civility that, because I did, I saw on Twitter immediately some really
very horrible things. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, the coming from the left, but in times when other folks have died, you know, the right is guilty as well of this lack of civility. Yes.
Plenty
it's
of guilt
endemic,
is around.
You know, yeah. It's epidemic actually in our society, which is why I just go back to watching Ginsburg's response to it. But you know, one of the loveliest things I read this week was the little piece that one of his sons wrote. I think it was in the Washington Post, that was really just a lovely obituary, a lovely recollection of his father. It was really very, very neat to see it from his children's side too. I think his son is the celebrant delivering his funeral.
No, he is the actual celebrant. It's going on right now as we're recording. I think mm-hmm. it just started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Of course, it's at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, D.C., which is an amazing church. I love that church. I don't know what I would do if I was his son's position, because he's really got the national exposure here, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's his father.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'm sure they're going to have the burial itself will be private, or, you know, something like that. I'm sure there'll be something for the family themselves at that point. And actually, I think the mass itself to actually be in there is only for family and friends. It's not.
Well, can you imagine how, I mean, it's a big church, but that's going to be packed.
Yeah.
I saw how beautiful the lining up of the clerks, of his past clerks during, I think they had a viewing yesterday. It was yesterday.
Sure.
Yes.
And and they were lined up beautifully. It was almost military.
Sure.
I know. You know, they have those big steps in the front of the Supreme Court, and they carried, you know, the casket up those steps, and you could tell that they were really struggling because, I mean,
he wasn't a small man.
No, he was not also a big guy.
And it was a wooden casket and everything, but you could tell. There was a sort of devoted look on their face. It was like, we're going to do this no matter what.
Yeah. You know?
And we're on TV, so we better make it look good.
Yeah, right.
I appreciate those kind of things because it's sort of like a last a devotion to the man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. we're going to do this. I like those kind of symbolism. I guess it comes with being Catholic. We're all about the symbolisms.
Yeah, rituals and that kind of thing.
The rituals. That's what I meant.
And I think humans in general are creatures that like, you know, traditions and rituals, whether you're Catholic or not. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, speaking of Catholic, this lady is Catholic. Miss Pat Gone, Among Women podcast, among other things. The picks of the week. So, where shall we start? Square number 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Except that they're all mixed up.
I know. So you'll just have to trust me when I say that square number three is Maria Johnson.
Oh, boy. I'm ready to go, too.
Good.
I have an app that has been around for some time, but has just very recently become relevant to me because did I tell you guys last week that I'm close to being diabetic now? My blood sugar is out of control. So I'm on a diet and exercise regime established by my doctor. And part of it requires that I track my food intake so that I can, you know, watch some patterns to see if we can nip this in the bud. Don't you have that? Nip it. So I'm using my Fitness Pal. It's an app. It has a free portion, and then you can subscribe to it, and it gives you a whole bunch of feedback on the nutritional value of what you're choosing. But what I like about it is that, number one, it gives me a place to log my food and my exercise, but that it also lets me to select from a menu of restaurants. So it checks in with my GPS components, you know, my searchability on the phone. And so I can go, like, I didn't have to not go to Longhorn. I went to Longhorn with John in the middle of the week for a dinner. And I just selected the menu items from here, and it logged my calories. Mm-hmm. So I knew what I was doing, and I knew what the breakdown is, carbs and protein and I don't know what the third thing is. Carbs, protein, whatever. Fat. Yes, fat. and
are you saying I'm fat? Running count.
Well, there's that too. But
does this app make me look fat?
So now, if this app
it's going to make me look thin.
So now, if you're walking into McDonald's, does it say, you know, you might actually have better luck if you go to the salad place next door?
Hey, they have salads at McDonald's.
It does. Yeah. It does give you local restaurant choices, but it also, because it's on my phone, it's also tracking my steps, and so it's neat. It's called My Fitness Pal. And it's a community app, only I turned off all those things because I don't want the entire world to know what I'm eating and when.
Yeah.
But
that's what Instagram's for.
Right. But my fitness app, it's free, and it does have, you know, the option to upgrade to the premium.
Excellent. My oldest daughter, Alyssa, is using that as well. And she said, Dad, you should use that too. And I said, are you saying I'm fat? But anyway, I know a lot of people that love the app, and that's a great pick. And speaking of apps, I might as well just kind of keep going here with that. A great article from the Catholic News Agency, and 6 Catholic apps you need for Lent. They have 6 choices here. The Catholic Relief Services Rice Bowl app, Lent Sanity, which was my pick last week. Laudate, which happens to be one that we have talked about and has been a pick of ours in the past, as well as iBreviary, that's there as well. And finally, Mass Times. Almost every single one of these, except for maybe the Rice Bowl app, have been apps that have been chosen as picks of the week on the Catholic Weekend show. And the MassTimes.org, the Mass Times app, is really nice for those of us who do a lot of traveling. And since I'm an airline pilot, I do a lot of traveling. Luckily, most of the time I'm home on the weekend, so I don't have to really worry about, you know, how to find a mass to go to, but it's still handy during the week as well. And so anyway, I'll have a link to the 6 Catholic apps you need for Lent. And then also my secondary pick was one that I had had talked about at the beginning of the show, and that was Jimmy Akin, who is a great friend of the StarQuest Production Network. We love him so much. And he's such a knowledgeable guy, and that article regarding Pope Francis speaking on hot button issues, jimmyakin.com. And Mike, I'll give you the link to that in the show notes. Who's next?
I can go next.
All right.
Well, mine is going to be probably not one that Maria should do, but everybody always enjoys during Lent, and that is the Knights of Columbus fish fries. We just had our first one last night, and of course, it was absolutely excellent. The guys here always do a wonderful job on it. But of course, the fish is deep fried, and there's cheesy potatoes and cheesy beans, and, you know, it's all good for the taste buds, but it's not good for the waistline.
Now, a lot of places are doing grilled fish as well as fried fish.
Ours actually has that option.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea, actually. That's a very good idea. But, you can't eat that deep fried. Actually, letting out a little secret here, they ordered a pack of catfish as well as the regular pollock fish that they use for deep fried catfish. Oh, so good. Maria doesn't like
it. I don't like it.
You know what?
It just tastes like mud in my head.
Maria, you know what? I've eaten catfish a lot lately. The farm-raised catfish does not have that muddy taste.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the stuff they had last night was excellent.
It's probably not as good for
you.
But
that was for the workers.
Probably. You know,
that wasn't the general distribution fish.
Yeah. There's a little place in the Atlanta airport, Pascal's, that has good Southern soul food and that kind of thing. And they usually have fish. And for the longest time, I was eating the fish. And finally, I heard somebody say, I'll have the catfish. And I'm going, that's catfish?
You've been eating catfish.
I've been eating catfish for years and didn't even know it was catfish.
I avoided it like the plague.
I know. That's what I mean. So if I had tasted that muddy flavor in it, I wouldn't have ordered it. I mean,
admittedly, catfish is one of those things you got to know how to prepare.
Yeah. They know how to do it. Yes.
I like the breaded fried catfish with Tabasco sauce on it.
That's
the way to eat it.
Yeah. We all love that.
Broiled is good. But.
Yeah. Yeah. So, fish fries / fish grills on Fridays.
Morning the Knights of Columbus, of course.
The Knights of Columbus. They're great people. And just so that people that are watching this blab who may not understand why Catholics eat fish on Fridays, just wanted to make sure that you understand that we don't have to eat fish on Fridays. It's just that we're not allowed to eat meat on Friday. So
we sacrifice meat on Fridays during Lent.
Right. And sometimes it's a fine line between like not eating meat and that being a sacrifice and not going overboard. And really, especially if you love fish, that's really not much of a sacrifice. So last night was an example, usually when Linda fixes something, it's just something very simple, like just rice and beans, so we're getting nutrition and, protein and that kind of stuff. But we're missing our meat, and that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
So
when I was growing up, we didn't eat meat on any Friday, whether it was Lent or not. But that was pancake night.
Oh,
my dad would make pancakes, and so I still think of pancakes as dinner food, not
Friday night.
Well, you better not have been enjoying
Friday
that
night pancakes.
Better not have been enjoying that, Steve. Speaking of enjoying, we're going to enjoy your pick of the week.
Oh, that's right. I think I might go back to the apps theme that we had going a little while ago.
Okay.
Because like you, Jeff, I travel a lot. Not as much as you do. But
you do travel a lot. I think all of us do. Maybe Father Corey the least amount of us all. But
I just drive a lot.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I've become a big fan of the TripIt app. Mm. Because it will... What I like about it is it scans my email, and whenever I get like a confirmation from the airline or from the car rental or the hotel, it notices that and it builds a profile for me so I can go to one place and see all of my reservations in one place, and it'll add them to my calendar for me too.
I was going to say, I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
excited.
Because I'm excited because it's so cool, because all of a sudden you look at your calendar and you go, how did that get there? My car reservations there, my hotel reservations there. And
Big Brother is watching you.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Well, Google Now will do that too, where it'll come up on, my little Google phone here, my Android phone here. And it is a little disturbing when it does that. It's like, how do you know that? Oh yeah, I've got an email that's attached to this account that,
Well, I find it very helpful. Even though I still use the airline apps a lot of the time too, they seem to be quicker on the take when it comes to gate changes and things like that. So I use all the travel apps now.
You're a seasoned traveler, you.
Mm, yep. I've got a big trip coming up in a couple of weeks, and I'm bound to determine. It's a 2-week trip, and I'm bound to determine to only take a carry-on.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. Just got to wear the same thing every day. Or do like Father Roderick does. He just takes stuff that's all black and goes with everything, right?
Yeah.
Father Corey is thinking something to say, but isn't that true? No, I mean, it makes it easier for you guys, right?
you know, well, that's when I went over to the Holy Land in seminary. You know, we were there for 2.5 months. I only packed like 3 overshirts, but I had a whole bunch of, you know, the white undershirts, mm-hmm. you know, because you change those every day. And those you roll up into a little ball. You don't care what they look like. But then the overshirt, you know, you can fold a little bit nicer. Mm-hmm. That helps a lot.
It's so easy to be a man.
How would you know?
Look like.
Yeah.
And especially easy to be a priest with just the black shirt.
Yeah. It's amazing what Father Roderick travels with. Like nothing. It's
nothing.
Like a purse. A man purse. I mean, like nothing. You go, really? That's it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. He can put everything underneath the seat in front of him if he needed to. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well, it's time for us to end the show. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on this blab, especially those of you who had never, ever heard of the StarQuest Production Network or Catholic Weekend. I mean, it's special to us to have you out there and being part of our experience. And again, if you want to learn more, you know, this is, you know, just one of the many awesome shows in our lineup at the StarQuest Production Network. You should check out, especially Father's shows. Let's see, are we still doing the Secrets of Doctor Who?
It's on hiatus right now because Doctor Who is between seasons.
Oh, okay. And they have the Secrets of Star Wars. I think that they just put out a recent episode. Dom and Father talk about the latest in the series of great movies.
And yeah, that looks to be a three-part production, I think.
Oh, okay. I haven't listened to it yet, so I wasn't aware of that. Let's see. So there are a lot of great stuff. The Break and The Walk are two that Father does every week. So check it out at sqpn.com.
And remind our regulars and new viewers that this is transitioning.
This is. In fact, this is a big transition. I'm not sure if you're going to see all of us again here next week or just a couple of us. You know, we're kind of really not absolutely positive how soon this big transition is going to occur. But we are in the midst of rebranding at SQPN, and we are in the midst of, you know, adjusting our schedules and our shows. And this is going to turn into, it's always been a community show, and it will continue to be a community show, and it will be a way for us to connect with those of you who are supporters of the StarQuest Production Network or whatever the new branding is going to be, and for you to find out about what is going on behind the scenes, etc. So look for that transition to occur very, very soon. And we're all just playing it by ear, actually. So we'll see. Maybe we'll all be back again next week. Perhaps, maybe not. So that's not good. That's not very good promotion, Jeff. It's terrible marketing. I don't know.
But I love you all.
We love you, Maria. And thank you,
Adios.
Everyone, for being with us. And until next time, enjoy your week. Have a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.